Today's scripture reading is Psalms chapter 50, verses 16 through 23. Again, that's Psalms chapter 50, verses 16 through 23. And it reads, "But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes, or take my covenant in your mouth? But seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you, when you saw a thief, you consented with him, and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show him the salvation of God."
In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, Titus 1 and verse 2. Giving honor to God and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's in him that we live and move and have our being. Can everybody hear me? Okay. I would like to thank you all for coming here today and bearing with me. 2 weeks ago, I preached my last sermon in Jacksonville. Today, I'm preaching my first one here, and beginning my new chapter of life with my wife. And we've been apart for over 3.5 years, so I thank God that he's given me the privilege to finally bring us back together. We came up here kicking and screaming, and she's still screaming because she's back in Jacksonville now. But I know it's God's will that we are here, and we thank him for that. If you're visiting with us, please know that you are honored guests, and we pray that something we say here today will both be edifying and instructive, and will encourage you in your walk with God. And that is also the case for the members. I would also like to thank the eldership for giving me this opportunity. Haven't been here long, and it was really a joy and an honor and a privilege to be up before you today. So hopefully this message will, as it is intended to do, upset and disturb somebody to the point that you will contemplate your condition before the Almighty God. Today we're going to be discussing a very serious subject, one that we don't generally hear that much about. And if I had to give it a title, I would call it "When God Laughs." Someone may even ask, how can we talk about laughter and make that serious? Because when we think of laughter, we normally think of good times and happy things. That, of course, is true in most cases, but again, I remind you, we're talking about the laughter of God. So having said that, please join me, if you will, as I set the table for this lesson, and I read the following four passages. First of all, turn with me to Psalm chapter 2. And when I stop here and pages turn, I will begin. Psalm chapter 2. That was fast. Starting at verse 1. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Key verse coming up. Verse 4. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have all of them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." Now turn it over to Psalm 37. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and continue at verses 12 and 13. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verses 12 and 13, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Now I'll flip over to Psalm 59. Starting at verse 6. They return at evening, they make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for who, say they, doth hear? Verse 8, but thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them, thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Then turn with me to Proverbs 1. And starting at verse 22. Verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Verse 26, key verse. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and shall be filled with their own devices. Praise God for his word. These are the only four scriptures in all the Bible where we get the picture of God's laughing. I just read to you Psalm chapter 2, verse 4, Psalm 37, verse 13, Psalm 59, verse 8, Proverbs 1, and verse 26. Now, before I go too far into this lesson, what do you think? Needless to say, it will be a sad time for mankind when God is found laughing. These passages clearly hammer home the point what the entire Bible tells us throughout, and that is that our salvation is serious business. We know that a great day is coming, yes, even our own day, when God is going to be found laughing, and thus all of us, that's you and me, are going to have to face the music. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11. Friends, each and every one of us will inevitably stand before the Almighty God, and he's already told us in his word how things are going to be. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I've spoken, not the watchtower, the words that I've spoken, not the Baptist creed or the Methodist hymn book, the words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. At that time, we're going to have to give an account of our lives and get this, whether we have laughed at God. I've often thought about what God is going to say to me when I stand before him. But like all of you, I have to be honest with myself. And I have to say that I personally will be void of excuse, as will many of you. That's why, when I knowing the terror of the Lord, I do my very best to persuade men. And when I stand before you for this short while, I'm not your friend by any means. Because friends tend to tell you what you want to hear. But at this point of the lesson, I need to tell you what you need to hear, because what you want to hear may not necessarily be in your best interest. James said, be not many teachers, knowing that you shall receive the greater damnation, condemnation. So in other words, I'm not going to give you any false hope or try to tell you something other than the word of God to soften the blow. Because in Mark 16:16, it's pretty simple. That verse ends with, he that believeth not shall be damned. And it's just that simple. Any questions? That is also why I listen to every sermon I hear as though it were my last. And if I see anything amiss in my life, I don't wait until the next assembly of the saints to get that in order. Because I also realize that the righteous are scarcely going to be saved. And needless to say, on that day, when we find God laughing, we are going to see a side of him that I am so fearful of. In 1 Peter 4, starting at verse 17, Peter said, for the time is come when judgment must begin at the house of God. And if at first begin with us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of Christ? Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, that's a sobering question when we look at so many people doing so many things that seem to be so contrary to the will of God. And Paul asked that question because Peter asked it. And the answer to that question is very simple. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse 6, Paul said, seeing that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that's number one, and that obey not the gospel of Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Verses 6 to 9. Now, to take this point of God's wrath one step further, this ought to really shake you up. Turn with me to Revelation 6. And I'd just like to read them all passages in your hearing. Revelation 6, starting at verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman hid themselves, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's scary, isn't it? Scarcely do we associate divine wrath with something as gentle as a lamb. But not only is Jesus described as the perfect Lamb of God, he's also referred to as the Lion in the tribe of Judah. We don't normally think of God's laughing, do we? However, man has always laughed. We laugh at things that are silly. We laugh at things that are trivial. We laugh at things that are foolish. I remember even in the worst of times when all I had to look forward to was a good laugh. Because friends, laughter is food for the soul. My favorite TV shows today are still comedies. So no matter how old I get, I don't think I'll ever get tired of a good laugh. So man has always laughed. However, man does not laugh at things that are somber. Man doesn't laugh when he reports to his job that he has worked on some 10 or 15 years on Friday morning and is called at home later that weekend and told not to report back to the work. Man does not laugh when the house that he spent so many years sweating and toiling to build burns to the ground. Man does not laugh when the plane on which he is flying plummets to the ground. Man does not laugh when he has a child sick to near death in an emergency room. One of the most horrible things of horrors would be for a parent to have to bury his child. I didn't laugh when the undertaker lowered my dad's lifeless body into the ground April 1987. And because I was away from home, I don't even remember the last time I spoke with him. I didn't laugh on January 31st, 1993, Super Bowl Sunday, during the third quarter, when I learned that my brother had just died of a massive heart attack. I didn't laugh 5 years ago when my mother came up and visited me for a week, then took sick with the TIA, and she wasn't the same since. About 3 or 4 weeks later, I was talking to my wife about whether to take my black suit up to South Carolina. We didn't want to think that way, but it wasn't funny. The fact that my dad died a Methodist made that even less funny. The fact that my oldest brother did not even faithfully attend worship anyway made that even less funny. Friends, man doesn't laugh at things that are somber. But the truth of the matter is, man has always, I mean no exception to that rule, always laughed at God. For instance, look at all this craziness we see going on in the homosexual community these days. Or this, what you call, new normal. There ain't no new normal. I never saw an appendix or a modification to God's word. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not, does he? You remember some years ago when this gay Episcopalian bishop, some quote-unquote Reverend V. Gene Wallace, came on television and said that God told him to come out of the closet? How do you know it's God? What about states legalizing gay marriages now almost as fast as you can imagine? You remember Miss Carrie Prezon, who was in the Miss America pageant? She was asked a question by this gay guy, and the question was, did she think the gays should marry? And she only gave an honest and godly answer, and she was condemned for it. She lost her opportunity to become Miss America, and I think she even lost her Miss California title. Sometimes we should cringe when we think about the situation with homosexuality these days. To be honest with you, God doesn't hate the homosexual. He hates the sin. As a homosexual, they're still going to hell. Why? Leviticus 18:22. Do not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Flip over two more chapters. If a man lies with a man as with a woman, they both should die to death. Because this is an abomination. You know what an abomination is? That's almost like making God throw up. In Romans 1, when Paul talked about homosexuality, he called it a vile affection. It doesn't get much worse than that. And I want to say something. It's sad the way this thing is going now. I don't think one person is the cause of it, but it really offends me when our leadership congratulates us for coming out and being homosexual. It really offends me. Do not lie with mankind as with womankind, is God's word. And when we tamper with God's word, Psalm 119 and verse 148, David said, therefore I esteem all thy commandments in all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You got to love what God loves. You don't hate the people, but you hate the sin. You got to hate what God hates. We got to. The atheists, they laugh at God when they try to deny his very existence. But the truth of the matter is Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in him, for God is shown and unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 1, verses 18 to 20. The world is without excuse. The atheist will be without excuse. As a matter of fact, I challenge you on the day to end our days to find an atheist. I challenge you to find one. In the end, God will really say, look who's laughing now. You can find people talking about just about anything, anywhere these days, except for God. That's the only thing that's illegal. In school, you can't even carry a Bible or say a prayer in front of somebody. But we keep silent. The denominationists, they laugh at God when they say in their hearts, oh, how I love Jesus. Out of one side of their mouth, yet their actions say, go to the church of your choice. How many times you haven't driven down the road and seen go to the church of your choice? I remember one elder saying to me that he counted 30 churches, different denominations, on his way to worship one day, and it took him 5 minutes to get there. What about the church of God's choice? That's why we are left now at 4,000 plus denominations, and each one having something slightly different, because what do they want? They want to be them, they want to be original, they want to be themselves. But that disqualifies them from worshiping God. Hear me on this one, family. The average, lukewarm, indifferent member of the body of Christ laughs at God every day when he or she walks around with that no sense of commitment attitude, and then actually thinks that that kind of worship is going to be acceptable to him. There are people in here, maybe you, not to offend you, but maybe you, that when you walk away from this building today, that's the last time you can pick your Bible up until the next time you come here. Just like the sneaker. Last one to sneak in, first one to sneak out. Don't let me be your only Bible. Paul says, study, give diligence, give effort to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I'm going to tell you something shameful about myself, because I'm going to be honest with you. These are things I've learned from being a Sunday Christian, a Sunday dose Christian, just like a pill. You take it, it lasts 2 hours, and then you go home, you're healed for 2 hours, but then you're sick the rest of the week. I went to worship on Sunday. I knew two scriptures the first 10 years I was in the church. And one preacher pulled me aside one day and said, brother, you need to get off the bench and get in the game. I'm no dummy. I'm not smart. But I should know more than two scriptures than being in worship 10 years. If somebody's been around you for 3, 4, 5, 10 years, and they don't know you're a Christian, you're doing something wrong. Are you laughing at the jokes? What are you doing? Our salvation is serious business. Then we got these people that got to argue with you because the Bible doesn't say that you have to be here on Wednesday night. Does it really say that? No, it doesn't. But guess what? You can't grow unless you come. you'll be like me 10, 15, 20 years from now knowing one scripture. Because I decided that I could barely get in here on time for worship. I get here because I deceive myself and think, well, if I get here in time for communion, I got to worship. No, there are five acts of worship, you know. Not one. There are five. Paul refers to these people in Titus 1:16. He says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Wouldn't you like to hear what Jesus said about you? Said when he stands before you on the day of judgment, what he said about the lady that broke the alabaster box in Mark 14. Mark 14, 8, Jesus said she had done what she could. Are you doing what you can? I'm not doing what I can. All of us can do more. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2 and verse 20. We got a lot of growing to do. I went from 2 to probably 22. Or somewhere. But I did go from 2. And it didn't start till I decided that God was first. It'll never start until you decide that God's first. So we need to stop laughing at God, especially in the church, because we know enough Bible today that if we don't do what we're supposed to do, we're going straight to hell. Pretty simple. But if that's the way it's going to be, if we are going to laugh at God, there's another side of that coin. God is going to laugh at all those who reject him. One might even ask, why will God laugh? But before I answer that question, I want you to consider some of the following about the God you serve. Number one, God will not be laughing because of some things. There's not going to be a time for I told you so's in the required. That's already been revealed to us in his word. Isaiah 55:11 says that God's word is not going to return to him void, but it's going to accomplish the very thing which he pleases. It is also impossible, as we read, for God to lie. Hebrews 6, verses 18 and 19. So God will not be laughing because of some things. He will also not be laughing because he hates man. In 1 John 4:8, we read that God is love. In other words, that's his nature. In Romans chapter 5, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified or declared not guilty by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, verse 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God loved us enough that he gave up everything. Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. Then there's that golden passage of the Bible that just about everybody knows. The only passage I knew for years. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved us enough that even if one person in this whole assembly is saved today, he will account the death of his son as well worth it. Because one soul is worth more than the whole world of God. God loves us that way. Does that sound like anybody who hates man? One of my favorite passages in the Bible, of course, is Ezekiel 18:23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, and that they should not turn from their wicked ways and live? God does not delight, nor does he hate man. Also, God would not be laughing because he rejoices in man's impenitence. If that were the case, Why was it that he had to turn his back on his only begotten son while he was dying on the cross? Can you imagine how painful those words must have been come from God, him, from Jesus, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to really, really decide that I'm still determined to go through this, even though man doesn't appreciate it. Listen to me, friends. God was not deaf when he heard those words from Jesus. But he had to hear those words and not come. Even though he could have stopped the whole thing, and that really is a key point. And I got to tell you, I love all you a lot. But I will only take a bullet for my wife and my kids. And maybe some baby that's out there somewhere that I have to go rescue in a hurry. But I'm not going to take one for you all. I'm not. But the first thing that came out of Jesus' mouth was Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, one of the most amazing scriptures in the Bible is when I read Isaiah 53. When you look at the last two verses of Isaiah 52, the Bible says that Jesus had been beaten beyond recognition. His vision was so marred beyond that of any man. Beat him to look like hamburger. You read Isaiah 53 and then you come to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God. Why? Because God's capacity to love is far greater than man's capacity to sin. There's nothing that you can do today that you can't be forgiven of if you just get out of yourself. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me, Luke 9:23. That's the hardest command in the Bible, because I'm going to tell you what, our first impulse is to think about self. It really is. In the interest of time, I want to use about 10 more minutes, 5-10 minutes, and I'll finish this lesson. I want to give you four reasons why I think God will be laughing. First one is God will laugh at the futility of his enemies. In Psalm chapter 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed and say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What do we read verse 4? He that sits in heaven shall laugh. It's like some people think that they're in power today and it's always going to be that way. Let me remind y'all of one thing. Let me remind everybody of one thing. God is in control. He was in control from the beginning, and our sins never took him by surprise. And he's also in control now. It was God who created man and not we ourselves. Yet oftentimes, man has simply just shook his finger in the face of God, as if to say, I'm so ungrateful, and one day I will dethrone you. As I said before, man's day is coming, for what goes around, Psalm 37:13, comes around. The Lord will laugh at them, for he sees that his day is coming. Point number two. God will be laughing because his enemies are going to be destroyed. Even the devil. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Why? Because there's days coming too. Friends, my Bible says, Hebrews 12:29, that our God is a consuming fire. And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and all liars shall have their place in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death, Revelation 21:8. Whenever man has reached a certain point of wickedness, God has always brought him back to reality. Remember the story in Daniel chapter 4? Nebuchadnezzar steps out on his balcony and said, look at all the stuff I did with my hands and my power and my might. And the angel said to Nebuchadnezzar, O Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom is removed from thee. The man went crazy for 7 years. Out in the field, eating grass, hair growing like eagle's feathers, everything you can imagine. It went from I to what did I say? Think about that. We think we are in control, family, but we are not. September 11th didn't seem to faze man. You realize that some people went to work that morning, they kissed their wives, went to work, and didn't come back home that afternoon? I have a friend that missed that same misfortune because he had a dental appointment. He would have been at work if he didn't have one. That's a scary thought. I also have a niece who died. One day went to work, came home that night, ate dinner, and died of a heart attack. 42 years old, just out of the blue, just died. We never wake up and we never learn from the past. What about the abortionists killing innocent babies? Their day is coming. What about people making mockery of the Bible? You see that every day. Their day is coming too. I want to read you another scripture because I'm not going to be much longer. Jeremiah chapter 5. Starting at verse 29. Jeremiah chapter 5. Starting at verse 29 to 31. This is God himself saying, "Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged for such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what shall you do in the end thereof?" We seek wickedness every day around us. And at this very moment, many people are just laughing uncontrollably in God's face. Some are even saying the false teaching, "Preach on, brother, preach on." And to tough teaching, they're saying, "Hush preaching at me. You don't have the right to judge me." Saul reminds me of those people in 2 Timothy 4 who had itching ears, and they only wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. Friends, God will laugh one day because his enemies are going to be destroyed. Third reason, God will laugh because his cause will finally be secure. In Nahum 1 and verse 3, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at any time acquit the wicked." God cannot just let a wicked man off the hook. And when we think of all the wicked people we know, we can think about just about anybody imaginable who has not obeyed the gospel as wicked in God's eyes. Because our sin is between us and God, no matter how good we are, until we obey the gospel. So wickedness abounds. And in the text that was read, verse 16, God says, "To the wicked," God says, "What is thou to do to declare my statutes, seeing that thou hatest instruction and hast cast my word behind thee?" Then he enumerated all these sins that these people did. When you saw a thief, you gave consent to him. You've been partakers with adulterers. You slandered your own mother's son. He says, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silent." God is keeping silent today. As wicked as man is, and man considers that silence as consent. He said, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silent." Why? He said, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such one as thyself." We want to think God is like us because God hadn't condemned us. He says, "These things I have done that I kept silent." In other words, I did not consume you like I did in Genesis chapter 7, where I shut the door of the ark, I caused it to rain 40 days and 40 nights on the earth, that water remained on the earth for 120 days, and all flesh died before me. Genesis 7, verses 16 to 24. He says, "These things hast thou done, I kept silent." He said, "I did not rain fire and brimstone down upon you as I did the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah." In Genesis 19, when I rained brimstone on that city, only Lot and his family were saved. But his wife still did not get the message. "These things hast thou done, And I kept silent. He said, I did not cause 10 plagues coming upon you as I did the Egyptians, who would not let my people go during the days of my servant Moses. Exodus 9 through 11. He said, these things has thou done, and I kept silent. He said, I did not open up the face of the earth and swallow you up as I did Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who tried to stir up insurrection against my servant Moses. Numbers 16, verses 25 to 35. These things has thou done, I kept silent. I did not send my death angel down among you to consume 185,000 of you, as I did the army of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, who provoked me and taunted me during the days of my servant Hezekiah. 2 Kings 19, verse 35. He said, thou thoughtest thou was such a one as thyself. Sometimes I believe that we think that whatever we want to do, God will approve. That's unfortunate. God will laugh also, finally, family, because the righteous will finally be able to take their rest. In Revelation 14, 13, blessed are they which die in the Lord. Yea, from henceforth say the Spirit, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I'm not going to continue preaching today, family. God will laugh because of the futility of his enemies. God will laugh because his enemies are going to be destroyed. God will laugh because his cause is finally going to be secured. And finally, God will laugh because the righteous will finally be able to take their rest. There will be no hypocrites in heaven, and God will see to that. So if you don't like the church because of the hypocrites, you don't need to worry about that. Let God worry about that. So the question now is, will God be laughing at you? Today is your chance not to let that happen. You don't want to hear God say, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction is a whirlwind. When destruction and anguish come upon you, you call upon me and I won't hear. You seek me early and I won't find you. Why is that? Because you will obey God. Hebrews 13:15. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You have a chance for that not to happen. How do you do that? By hearing his word, by believing his word, by repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized into Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's a promise, family. And the last part of that verse, he that believeth not shall be damned, that's also a promise. And the Lord is not slight concerning his promise. If you've done that, and straight away, 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. Verse 16, for mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Whatever your needs are, please, let this be the day that you stop laughing at God. You know what's in your life. And in Ezekiel 11:5, God says, I even know the things that come into your mind. You're not fooling God. Every O-N-E of them, God knows. So whatever your needs are, please, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that was selected.